I think it's important to appreciate how God works with wonderful events such as this. You'll notice as you go through various dispensational changes that it's very difficult for men who God has used during a specific dispensation or people to understand that God is now moving and bringing about something new, something better. And so how does one understand that God is in this? Well, God does something in a miraculous way. We think of how when the Lord was upon the earth and he was speaking of the kingdom that was to come, he performed great miracles to say that God is here, a man upon the earth. The beginning of the formation of the church, there were those who had been with the Lord. Now, how do we know that this is of God? Well, he does this miraculous thing. First is the Spirit of God coming in a wonderful way that men could only understand this to be of God. And then so that men would be able to also hear, men from many languages, many countries, that God allows through the Spirit of God that they're able to hear this message in their own language. That showed to them that this is of God. And you know, to connect it to what Brother Amos said, this is why we don't shy away from the fact that what we have in the revealed word of God is from God. Because the demonstration of his power through the Spirit shows to us and confirms and should bring about a conviction in our hearts that this is of God. The way that he is laid out for us as the place of gathering, the divine center, two or three are gathered unto his name, the indwelling Spirit. You know what? This is the word of God. And this is the way that he has laid it out. And I want to embrace that as young people. And God shows it to men through this demonstration of his power. At your leisure, you look to the book of Acts. And you'll see that God shows this not only to the Jews, to the Samaritans. He does it to the house of Cornelius concerning the Spirit of God. And lastly, to the disciples of John. To show to each one of these groups, Jew, Gentile, John the Baptist, his disciples, and the house of Cornelius, the Gentiles, that God is in the formation of this new thing called the Assembly of the Living God.
Let me illustrate that because I'm a man who likes picture things. Can I take that on your hand there? Just hold it up. Brother Chuck, you used that example long, long time ago about the pearl. Just so lift it up like that. You see that? Those pearls that are linked together to form that beautiful thing, whatever it is. Bracelet. That's the word I was looking for. So I want you to look at that. That's what happened at the day of the Pentecost. Those pearls that are so precious to the heart of the Lord Jesus, they were linked together and they were linked with the head in heaven. That beautiful necklace or bracelet. And that's exactly what have taken place. It was formed that way. Beautiful and pure. It was born linked with the head in heaven because he's building his church and he's linking them all together. You see the unity there? Before even sending them out to do anything, before, you know, giving them ability to preach or anything, he formed that church, that event. Every true believer in the Lord Jesus was linked in that beautiful bracelet, beautiful necklace. And it started from that day till eternity. It's always there. Now, practically speaking, in times the Lord is adding. But here, it is the objective view that it was formed, it was complete, and it was linked together.
Hold that bracelet up again.
See that? What happened?
Hold it up in the air again so everybody can see it. Now, I want to ask you, can you see what's holding it together?
No.
But you can see that it's held together.
Right.
This is the point. This is the Spirit of God. He is there. He is the one that produces that unity, isn't he? I don't have to maintain that unity. He maintains it himself. But we think of the example that we have here. There was the evidence that the Spirit of God was working. People couldn't deny it. Now, does that mean that men that were here at this time went about speaking just as they wanted to? That's what's done today in a counterfeit system. Men decide and they say, look, Emil, or John or Chuck, if you are really spiritual, you will be able to do this. If you're not spiritual, you'll not be able to, and it'll mark you out. Well, look at what this verse says. They spoke in other languages. How? What's it say? Anybody read that for me? How did they speak in other languages? As the Spirit gave them utterance. He is the one that works through you and I. We're going to have a whole reading on that. He is the one that maintains the rights of Christ here in this world. We are subject to the leading, the directing of the Holy Spirit. If we just want to really get hold of that, this is a beautiful thing. I want to repeat again what Emil has said. It is a historical event. It's never going to happen again. Christ, we have said, was in the center. He was the one that was preeminent in that assembly. He is the one that is in charge, if you would say. It is a reflection. Each one is a reflection of him. As the moon reflects the sun, so we are reflectors of the Lord Jesus here in this world through which we're passing. But we're not independent of one another. We're linked with one another by the Spirit of God.
Is thinking that as we had in Matthew 16, there was future, I will build. And now we see what is present. He is building, but this was the beginning of the building. So now we see the assembly being built, and it's being built in the power and energy of the Spirit of God, a divine person that gives glory to God himself. And he does this by the Spirit in using these different languages to speak the wonderful works of God. If you just make the quick comparison that here the languages were used to unite together people to one person, Christ. And at the Tower of Babel, where man said, I will rise up and build, I will make bricks and mortar, and I will build, then God comes in judgment, and with tongues, he divides the people, because it's in the energy of man for man's glory, replacing God. Here we have God receiving that rightful place. He's doing the building. It's for his glory in the power of the Spirit of God.
So the opposite happens.
The opposite happens. Yeah.
Let's turn to verse 42 of chapter 2. And let's see, what can I expect to find? And I believe that the brother that raised the question about the denomination that you came from, what can I expect to find in the local setting? What is there? It says, first of all here, they continued steadfastly. What a wonderful thought that is, that my continuance is not knee-jerk, okay? It's not just once in a while, but I continue steadfastly. That, to me, says that I have purpose. I have direction in what I'm doing. And what we've been gaining here today is the apostles' doctrine. It is the teaching of the apostles. We don't have any apostles left today, but what do we have in our hands? We have the words of the very apostles that followed the Lord and of one born out of due time, the apostle Paul. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine or teaching. And then there's something else that's wonderful here. There is a fellowship. And I'm not using fellowship as a descriptive word like we use of the brethren. But we are part of a wonderful fellowship with one another, with Christ as the head. But that fellowship is expressed and it's seen in this world. It says, and others will have more, fellowship in breaking of bread and in prayer. We need help on this verse.
So this is reading what somebody,